Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Well, we're very happy to have with us the president of Bahrain's Human Rights Center, Mr. Nabil Rajab. Mr. Rajab, thank you so much for being with us. Well, it's a pleasure having you, and you are in and out of jail a lot these years. Please tell me about your legal status right now as you're speaking to us.
Well, I'm not aware what's going to happen in a week time because I'm waiting for the verdict in a case regarding of a tweet that I have made criticizing some security institution. And I was kept more than a month, and I was then in jail. Then I was released on bail. Now I'm waiting for the verdict. It's going to be in a few days' time. I don't know how it's going to be, but I know that the public prosecutor asked for maximum jail, which is 6 years. And but what I have done is does not exceed my freedom of expression, is putting my opinion in one or two lines and tweeting.
What was your tweet? What was your tweet, Mr. Rajab, that you're being charged for?
Well, I was saying that many of the people who joined ISIS and become extremists or to Al-Qaeda, they were related to security institution here in Bahrain. And then there is a case against me filed by the Minister of Defense and by the Ministry of Interior. And this is not the first case. I had previous case by the Minister of Interior and similar, and I was also kept in jail for some time. And now, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's a case by two ministries, the military and the security institution.
One of the complaints about the Bahraini regime is, first of all, illegally arresting people, arresting them basically for no reason. And another is after they have been arrested, the treatment inside of the prisons themselves. Were you yourself mistreated in any way while you were incarcerated?
Well, I always say that you cannot take me as an example of the other prisoners. Because for 2 years I was kept in isolation. I was not kept in a proper detention center or real jail, where all the people, political prisoners, the thousands of them are there. I was kept in a separate small building to disconnect me from the other prisoners. And then I was kept with two or three people from Philippines or China, and people who speak language that I don't understand. So I was treated differently. I was the only one maybe among 3,000 or 4,000 prisoners who have been treated like that. But other prisons, and as we have receiving report, it's very much crowded and diseases being spread everywhere because of, especially skin diseases, because of the crowd, because of the number of people are there.
So unsanitary conditions in general. Is that the number? Let me just stop you right there. You said there are 3,000, these political prisoners, all of them?
We think that we have from 3,500 political, I mean, I wouldn't say political prisoner, but I would say prisoner, on their case is related to the political situation, which means some of them protest, some of them relation to freedom of expression, some of them gathering, some of them clashing with the police. It's all about the internal political situation.
That is an unbelievable high percentage. I think when we look at the population of Bahrain,
we have the highest percentage on prisoners, political prisoners in the world, taking into consideration the percentage and the amount, the number of people. We were the highest. Regard of the people, we are the second highest people who are detaining journalists, and we're the highest. right organization. So that's the situation in people inside jail. I always say it is very close to what is happening in Nazistan on the concentration camps for people who were kept in small areas, thousands of them being treated bad. This is the way people being tortured. We have people dying, tortured till death inside the prison. Unfortunately, this happens with the ignorance, with the absence of any international reaction, which Bahrain government sees as a go-ahead signal, as a green signal to continue doing so.
Well, let's look at that. You said that the Bahraini government sees as a basic green light. Isn't it? When you're talking about, as you said, percentage-wise, number one country for incarcerations in the world, and this is not making headlines internationally, if the so-called powers that be are actually ignoring that fact, then is it not a green light, basically, for Manama to do whatever it wants to do?
Yes, it is a green light. When you see it's not only being silent, but you see some country like UK, unfortunately, in the past 1 year, they've been praising the Bahraini human rights record very much, where in the past 1 year, the number of prisoners has doubled. In 2014, we have almost 1,900 new prisoners, people who were arrested, according to the report that we have in the Bahrain Center for Human Rights. 1,500 people were arrested in 2014. Of course, you have many of them before that, and you have many of them after that. So that tells you about the percentage of what's happening. And now we see UK government in a state are talking about there are improvements, where we see there are deterioration, rapid deterioration in the human rights situation. But UK, when you ask, when they are asked by a member of parliament in UK, the government would say, oh, there are improvements, which is not true at all. And also, unfortunately, because UK is not speaking, you will not see BBC are interested in the matter. Mm-hmm. When you see United States are not interested in the matter, automatically you see CNN not interested in the matter. And unfortunately, besides that, those people have a lot of businesses with Bahrain government, which with the money and the deals that they have with Bahrain government, they have really changed tried to cover what is happening here. There was just a small interview was released by one of presenters in the CNN a few days ago, and she was saying how much she made the documentary, spend a lot of money in CNN and effort, but then they stopped it and they did not broadcast it because they have a business deal with Bahrain. And this is the problem that we have with most of the media in the international level, that if are not pressured by their own government, they are pressured by the money and the interest that they have with the Gulf states.
I want to look at the situation of the tensions right now a little bit closer. We know that Sheikh Ali Salman now has been detained a couple of weeks. Tell me overall, what is his status, expectations, and why has the Manama regime insisted on continuing to hold him?
Well, again, I say that if they have received a strong reaction from the international community, they will not dare to do that. But that's the result of the international hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of a lot of countries which talks about democracy and justice inside their own country. But outside, they looked at their interest as a priority. Sheikh Ali Salman is the decision, it seems, by the ruling elite here to finish and wipe off all the opposition, all the critics, all the people criticizing the government and opposing the government policy. Now, yesterday, Jameel Ghanem, the head of Ashura division of Al-Wafaq, were sentenced for 6 months also. And I think there is a decision we're taking here. Now, they're going to stop all kinds of political activism and all human rights work. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see most of the political activists and human rights defenders are in jail. And so they want to to proceed in the way they've been doing in the past year, and they think they could do it, as nobody's criticizing them, nobody's telling them to stop, especially at the time when the Western government needed the Bahraini. And Bahrain government, they knew how to blackmail the international community, choosing or taking that opportunity that them and the Gulf state, the Western government, needed them at this point of time for their war. And this has been said very clearly by Western diplomats to the opposition, to human rights defenders, that now we need the Gulf state and we are not willing to criticize them. And all of this, double standard, hypocrisy, arms deal, our people are paying the price and the cost of all this. And but I say, we have learned a lot in the past years, seeing the international community, how they did in our situation. We've seen how the Muslim world, how the Muslim people, how the Muslim government have reacted.
What have you learned? What have you learned, Mr. Rajab? You say you've learned a lot over the years. For example,
that revolution, uprising, fighting for rights should not be dependent on anyone. You should depend on your own struggle and determination and commitment. And this is this thing which cannot be defeated at all. And this is what is making us strong. We are very much determined. We do believe very strongly in the struggle that we are carrying. We are very committed to continue our struggle. From day one, we did not really depend on the Western power. We did not depend on any government. And we don't want to depend. And we are teaching our nation not to depend on anybody except on ourselves. And we are not tired. Because of, we are committed to the values that we are fighting for. We are determined to continue our struggle. And this determination and commitment making us strong. And our revolution is very pure and clean, that we did not ask help, we didn't ask any military help, we didn't ask any kind of financial help from anybody, we depended always on ourselves. We ask people to respect the human right, to respect the human right values, to respect their commitment towards International Convention for Human Rights. And that's all, we don't want anything. But we depend on ourselves, and we believe that by depending on ourselves, we will succeed. We know that it's going to take long. We know that it's going to cost much more than normal. But we know this commitment that we have and belief we have in our message and our struggle will lead us to our goal, finally, to achieve a state that respects justice, human rights, equality, and democracy.
Almost out of time, but I want to look at, you said that you know it will take a long time, but you will continue the struggle. As you said before we start this interview, there's a possibility that you may be returning to jail next week. Nabil, what gives you and others like you the drive to continue, no matter that you may be risking your lives, your livelihood, your family? Obviously, when you're in jail, you're away from everyone. So what is the motivating factor that though the Manama regime continues to come down very, very hard on those who are trying to lead the revolution or direct the direction of the people, but you continue, you and others, like Sheikh Salman and so many others, you continue to sacrifice. What's the motivating factor?
That in fact I was in Norway when I came to know that I am going to be arrested, and I called my family to see how do they think about it, and I asked them, I'm going to be arrested the day I arrive in Bahrain, do you want me to come back or to stay outside? They say we prefer that you stay inside jail for 20 years but not staying outside the country. And this is the same belief that I have. I have decided from day one to continue our struggle from Bahrain and not from outside. Our people are facing a lot of trouble, a lot of repression. The government is very repressive government, killing, torturing people, changing the demographic structure of the country, marginalization, discriminating against the indigenous population, bringing new people and taking the passport from the indigenous population. life of the indigenous population very miserable. If you are here, you can't keep quiet. If you see what is going on and the amount of crime committed against people everywhere, in job, in police station, in the way they're treated, they have been treated in a very bad way. And you can't keep quiet. You can't continue. And I think because of our fathers and grandfathers can keep quiet, that's why the repression has been transferred to our era. I said that we should fight, we should struggle peacefully, we should try to bring justice into our nation. Democracy, justice, equality has come to almost all over the world, all the countries, except this part of the world, the Gulf country, and specifically Bahrain. We have to start from somewhere. We have to fight in a peaceful means. We are more determined to continue that struggle, so our children live better lives and have a better future for our children and for the coming generation. And we are going to continue. I know and we know that it's going to be costly, but we have decided to continue the struggle till we achieve justice in this part of the world.
Nabil Rajab, President of Bahrain Human Rights Center. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure, and all of our best.
I'll be there.
Goodbye.